I don't know, and Gustav and Nudia, I don't want to offend any of the young men here or anything, but it's good to have you guys here, and it's good to see the seasons are changing here in Namibia. We went to Maritza went to do a lady that got for a marriage yesterday, for a wedding. She went to do her hair, and when we came back here close to Dordabus, it was pouring and it was raining, and it was so nice to see that some parts of Namibia are receiving rain, and it's always such a blessing, I guess. Most of us this time of the year, we really trust and pray for a bit of rain and a bit of coolness. Now, yeah, I'll have to get out of this habit and not to say ladies, but ladies and gentlemen, this morning I want to share on something, and I believe in a sense, you know, as I said in the previous, in Afrikaans service, you know, in a sense, it seems to be the topic I want to share on, and that's families, that, you know, in one way, it's almost not that spiritual, but on the other hand, I want to tell you that it really is a lot of spiritual things to me and very important. Now, When we look around us, we will notice that families, the core of a family, the biblical family, are the building blocks of society. Society doesn't just have single people, you know. When you're young, you are born single. None of us were born with a husband or a wife. We get them along the way. But if we look around us in society, you know, families are the building blocks of our societies. And when we have healthy families, you know, then we will have a healthy society. Now, today I want to share a little bit on something that I really believe is so important for us, and something that we can't and shouldn't anymore just take for granted. You know, I don't want to jump up and down about what the devil are doing and what is not right and wrong and those type of things. But if we were to look in the past, say 30, 40 years, all around, from Europe, America, Africa, Australia, everywhere we live, we will see the sad tendency that normal families, biblical families, seems to be on the decline. Okay, and I want to show you two quick graphs. This is for Europe, but it basically looks similar all around the world in many ways. Some places are just worse. You'll see it starts at about 1965 and it goes to 2005, and this is the development of the marriage rate. So you'll see there's a decline in the amount of people, or the percentage of people, that does get married. Okay, and if you quickly look at the second graph, you'll see the opposite, the development of a divorce rate in the European Union, from 65 to 2005, and you will see that curve is going up and up, and then, you know, at a certain place, you will see a lot of people are divorcing. Now, on the one hand, less people are getting married. On the other hand, a lot of people are divorcing, and also a lot of people are cohabiting, you know, people just living together, but that aren't a husband and a wife and two sons and a daughter and two dogs and a cat, maybe a hamster or something. That's a normal family, and I'll give you the definition just now, you know. And I shared with the people, and those of you who are married, and we will know, even if you're single, you will know from your house, you know, they say that the people closest to you can hurt you the most sometimes, you know. And that's hard, but it's the truth, you know. So that's on the one side, but on the other side, I believe God created a biblical family, you know, that family, the close people closest to you, should actually bless you the most. Okay, the people there on the other side of town, they aren't the people that's supposed to be most involved in your life. You know, it's mom and dad and the cat and the dog and the boy and the girl. Now, let me read to you from Proverbs 14, verse 12. It says, there is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. Okay, so when we look at this, when we want to see this picture, you know, we need to use the Bible as our guideline. You know, God started right there in the start in Genesis. He started with Adam and Eve and their sons. He started with a family, okay? And we should know and understand that if we are talking about families, we mustn't follow the way of what we see in the media or on television. And I can tell you, sadly today, that the media isn't the friend of godly families. Okay, the things the media are telling us are not biblical. It's not actually good for us. Some of it here and there, yes, Okay, but we really have to do a lot of this discernment to see what we need to allow into our lives and not. Okay, I shared also, you know, many of you maybe are still, and then we'll pray for you afterwards. But I remember at the end of high school, me and my sister, we used to watch a lot of sitcoms. And they are made usually in America or in the United Kingdom, mostly in those places. You know, and many times they sketch a picture of the husband as this kind of fat, pathetic figure. Many times, this guy that has got no teeth, in a sense, teeth in terms of being strong. You know, and he's got this wife that basically runs the show and stuff like that. You know, and that is not, that is breaking down something, especially that men should be in a family. And I'm going to share a little bit on that. That's just the example of that. We really have to, mustn't just look at that and think that is the way we are all supposed to live. Hollywood, in that sense, are really not good for us. Jeremiah 6, verse 16. Book of Jeremiah were written long ago. You know, it's one of the older books in Scripture. But you know, it's still so relevant for us in our lives today. And it says, thus says the Lord, stand by the roads and look, and ask for the ancient path where the good way is, and walk in it and find rest for your souls. That's path of obedience, path of blessing. Okay? And if you were to go and stand here at Robert Mugabe or somewhere at the busy robot or an intersection, and you were to look at what's happening around you, you'll see lots of cars and lots of people driving by, okay? And it's almost like picking your favorite car. But in this sense, this scripture is telling us, listen, there's a lot of things happening, but go and look what's the good things and stick with it, okay? So we're going to have to use our discernment here. Proverbs 16, verse 7, when a man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at great peace with him. Okay, now this isn't for me as much about the enemies living in peace with him, but it's about God seeing and being pleased with your life. Okay, many times I think, you know, I had the other night, Maritza, my wife, was working a bit late, and you know, I had to feed the kids, and you know, sometimes at 7 o'clock, all of them, the day becomes a bit long and day becomes a bit difficult. And I've got two boys that's a bit bigger, and then Ulrike, the small one, the baby, not a baby, but she's a bit over two. And you know, then she wanted the one boy's cool drink bottle. And I just, oh, please, 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 just give it to her. And she actually gave it to her. You've got kids. Kids don't do that. Kids usually don't do that. And then after a few minutes, then she wanted the chair that he was sitting on. I said, Alvin, please, please, you know, just give it to her. I don't want to fight now. I don't want to mess here. I'm also tired in a sense. And then he actually gave his chair to her. Okay, and I thought like, Alvin, it's 7 o'clock at night, but you know what? I feel like giving you ice cream now or chocolate. And we all know that's not a good thing to do with small kids, which I didn't do. But the fact is, I was so pleased with what he did. You know, I thought like, I want to bless him. And it comes back to the scripture. I think God looks at us sometimes and then he thinks like, I want to give you a chocolate. I want to give you ice cream for choosing the right paths, for doing the right things. Not always the easy or the obvious, but the right things. Okay? And then sometimes I think God looks at us and he thinks like, I'm never ever going to give you chocolate again. Okay? But God is good and he usually does. Bottom line is just, I want to pull this through to the sermon today in terms of family life and things surrounding that. That we need to choose the right things. And I'm going to share a lot of out of my own family today. I'm going to share a few things. But I believe it's God's heart to have a culture where there's a legacy of blessing that can continue from one generation to another. And the thing is, if we receive that in our households from our fathers and mothers, you know, it shapes us so much more for the life we're living. It's things that we really need. Now, we all know, or I can tell you today, that the media or Hollywood or something didn't thought out, or no government thought out, listen, I think it's a good idea to have a husband and a wife and kids. This is a biblical thing. As I said, it starts all the way here from the front of Scripture. In Genesis 12, verse 3, it says, I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. God is speaking to Abraham, okay? All the families of the earth, all the nations, everyone, me, you, all of us sitting here today. God wants to bless the families. So it's not a word that we only pick up nowadays. It's something that we're there all the way from the start. And it's also something when we talk about fathers and sons and we're relating to God the Father, this is something important to my theology. It's something central in my theology to understand, you know, because you all probably heard someone somewhere in their lives talk about, you know, the man up there with the stick in the hand. You hear some people talking about God that way. Very scary to say that, okay? But that says, that's the experience, that's the way they experience Father God, okay? God the Father, okay? And that is not the way I experience it. And it's important that we don't see God in that way. We read in Galatians 3, verse 25 to 29. But now that faith has come, we are no longer under a guardian. For in Christ Jesus you are all sons of God through faith. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free, neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ. And if you are Christ's, then you are Abraham's offspring. He is according to the promise. This is so significant that we understand and that we know we are children of God. We aren't born children of God, okay? We are born in sin. Somewhere in our lives, we need to come to a place where we choose the Lord, where we become part of this family. Scripture talks about that we are adopted into this family, okay? But God isn't like a stepfather or something. He's like a real father to us, okay? So it's important when you hear someone talk about their relationship with God, you know, do they see God as a father as well, okay? Or is it just this person that wants to spoil their fun? Okay, that's what boundaries is in a sense. When you are young and you have a lady friend that you like a lot, boundaries is a good thing to have. Boundaries isn't there to spoil your fun, it's to protect. Okay, so if you listen to someone how they talk about God, you know, there's an important place, there's a doctrine of sonship, where we are sons and daughters of the living God. Okay, that makes our father, I know in the natural what my father was to me, okay? But I've got God the Father as well, okay? And that's when I love it, when I hear someone asking God for something impossible, okay? If I were to say, I'm going to trust God to jump to that roof. Now, you all know there's no way I can jump in the natural and touch that roof. But I tell you, with God, all things are possible. This is just a silly example, but bottom line is, sometimes we have to stand out in faith, and we have to put out our faith, and we have to trust and believe that God can make you touch that roof, okay? Because He's your Father. He wants what's best for you. You are His son, okay? You're not a number. You're not a sheep or anything to Him. You have got value. God loves us. In Romans 8, verse 14 to 17, for all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received a spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself bear witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, and heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with Him in order that we may also be glorified with Him. So we see clearly here, the Spirit bears witness, and it says, Abba. Abba is the Aramaic also for Father. So he cries out, Father, Father. Okay? So it's, if I were to, I'm going to use the example, Prisca. If I have to call, my eyes are looking, I'm seeing Prisca, so I call out, Prisca, Prisca. Okay? I'm seeing that. So if your spirit is seeing God the Father, it cries out, Father, Father. Okay? That means something what's in here relates with what God is. Okay? And that we know we are adopted into this family. And then, because you are part of this family, your dad is owning millions of farms or animals or cash or whatever it might be, and he wants to give inheritance to all of us. He wants to give something to all of us. Okay? Then, if we go on, if I'm going to read another quote to you from Dr. James Dobson. I'm sure all the mums, you have read all his books. Or everyone, not yet. We have to make a plan. Dr. James Dobson said, 50 years ago, it was believed that poverty and discrimination were primarily responsible for juvenile crime and other behavioral problems. Now we know that family disruption is the real culprit. As I started off by saying, the people closest to you can hurt you the most, Okay? So remember, husband and wife starts with a covenant. Okay? Covenant between you and God. Okay? And then comes the children. So within this circle of the covenant, the family is supposed to grow and relate to each other. Now, if that covenant are broken, it's like opening up the door and saying to the devil, come in, come steal, kill, and destroy. Okay? It doesn't have to be like that. And I want to tell you this morning, this is the most important thing to remember maybe today. I'm not a perfect father. I'm not a perfect husband. I'm not a perfect son to God. Okay? But there's grace for everything. Okay? And I want you to know that if you are sitting here and you're not a perfect parent or wife or husband or something, or if your parents haven't given you everything you wanted or maybe needed in life, remember, God can give everything to you still, even if you missed it. God can bring restoration. He can bring healing. Okay? Even if you didn't have a mother or a father, okay? He can give to you what you still need. Now, I want to encourage you. Many times we focus or we think, like I preached last week, on what we don't have. We always want to say, God, but I don't have this and I can't this. And you look at the people that does have it and you're almost a little bit jealous. All of us does that a little bit sometimes, I guess. Okay? But remember, God can restore those things you don't have. Don't go into life and think, my father was like this, my mother was like that. I will never be able to be a good husband or a father or whatever, okay? Don't believe that lie. Don't believe it. God can bring healing and He can change anything. He renews us. He makes us new. So whatever went wrong in life, and I tell you, there's nothing like a perfect marriage, husband, family, father, anything like that. There always is something because we're still flesh, we're human, we sin, we fall. We fall short of the glory of God, okay? But we know God can restore those things. So please remember that. So we want to focus on biblical families. Let me give you the definition how we see a biblical family. Our definition of a biblical family: one husband and one wife, a natural man and a natural woman joined in marriage covenant in which children are conceived and raised within the safety and security of covenant with God. Okay? So if it wasn't like that, God can renew that. But this is what we are aiming for. This is what we are aiming for. And you know, it's scary that the day and the age we live in, that word natural has to be there twice. Now, what would be an unnatural dad or an unnatural mother? Go and look around you. We'll see there's people where you have people that call themselves husband and wife, but it's actually two females of two men. Okay? That's not of God. That's not biblical. That's not what God destined us to be. Okay? So when we say, give out the definition, we say a natural man and a natural woman, that means the way you were born in God's image. And that says male and female. Let me read it to you. Genesis 1 verse 27. So God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him. Male and female, He created him. This is very important to our doctrine. God didn't create you male and male. We are all in God's image. That means there's a part that must be male and female. Whether you're male or female, you can see yourself in the mirror of God, in a sense. You must know you got some DNA, you got something from God that made you male or female. Isn't that beautiful? Okay? Isn't that awesome to know that that is the way that God created us, okay? And that's the way He wants us to be. The family was created by God to reflect the glory of the covenant by which He binds husband and wife together. As I said, if that covenant goes, if something goes wrong there, you know, let me share a little bit, and I said I'll share a little bit today. When we were in South Africa, the one evening, we were at the camp at the pastor summit. Now, do you think it's possible for a husband and a wife to have a bit of a fight while being at a pastor summit? Yes, it can happen. And you know, me and my wife were talking and we got to a serious point and blah, blah, blah. And I said to her, you know, but I'm very happily married. The fact that we're having a few words now doesn't mean we don't have a good marriage. Amen? Just the fact that you have a bad day sometimes or that you don't do good in the exam sometimes, that doesn't mean your life is miserable. We shouldn't allow life to tell us that, okay? And we need to, I was talking to an older gentleman the other day. Yes, it's a biblical child. He says, let the children come to me. Okay, you're a good guy. I can see that. He's a go-getter. Amen. And I was talking to that gentleman that's been married for many years, and we were on this topic, and he told me, but you know, he really finds it strange that people get divorced so easily. We are really supposed to work it out, okay? We should work it out, okay? And it's important that we live with that thing in our hearts, that it is possible to overcome. Now, I want to talk, and I'm not going to get a lot further than the role of the husband, okay? Next week, Pastor Jaco from Swakopmund is preaching, but the week after that, I really want to continue with the wife and the kids, etc. The role of the father as the head or leader is incomplete without the mother, the helper. Together, they reflect the God image to their children. I think this is a big responsibility. So we need to reflect to our young ones, to our children. We need to reflect something godly to them that they can see Christ and God in our lives. That's a big responsibility. They need to see it. And I can tell you, when they see it, they will follow that. If you or me and my wife, if we are just screaming and shouting at each other every day the whole time, guess what our kids going to do one day? Exactly the same. But if they see Christ there, they're going to follow that. Okay? So, husbands are the leaders. Okay? God works through authority. But we say wives are just as important. The husband can't be complete without the wife. Okay? Husband can't be complete without the wife. The roles of mother and father, although complementary, are nevertheless distinct. So they need to do this job together. They fill mekaar aan. They complement each other. But it's not the same. God didn't give you two fathers or two mothers. They say research have shown that babies from about 6 weeks old, they can discern between the way dads hold them and mums hold them. Amazing, eh? We think they just scream and want milk. No, they can already pick up the way a dad holds them and the way a mum holds them. And you know what? It's supposed to be different. The way mums will interact with kids and play with them are different. Gustav, come here. Let me show you something. Saskia, you also come here. I'm going to show you something about practical parenting. Come and stand at my right-hand side. I need my strong hand. You stand this side. Okay? Now, if she were my little girl, what do you do with girls? You hug them, you touch them, and you play with them, you cuddle them a little bit, those type of things. What do you do with your boys? Huh? You play different with them, huh? Huh? Yay! You see, kids discern these things. If you had two moms, they wouldn't be able to do this job. Sorry, Gustav. But God created us different. He needs to give you, each parent needs to give the child something different. Okay? And to have a good child, a happy child, they need both. Remember, if there's something wrong, God can still fill that gap. Now, especially, let's start off in Malachi, where the hearts of the father turns to the kids. Okay? I want to tell you today, I remember my wife, before we knew each other, she asked one godly guy in the church that we were in Stellenbosch in South Africa, and she said, name me two things that I should look for in a husband. And the guy told her, see if he's teachable and see what his relationship with his dad is like. Okay? Two things to look at. Now, there are many things to look at. But you know, fathers aren't there just to bring in the salary and to go out at night when the dog barks or something. Dads must also give love and affection, okay? Dads must also put an arm around a boy, around Gustav in that case. I'm not going to illustrate it again. He's a bit tall, you know. To hug him is always difficult, you know. I want to share something else there. My culture where I come from, men don't hug each other, okay? And I remember when I came born again Christian and I came to church, it was the weirdest thing for me to sometimes see guys in a sense hugging each other. And the first guy that gave me a hug was about Gustav's size. And I was really a bit uncomfortable in that sense. But you know, it's something godly. in the ancient times, the fathers and the son gave each other a kiss, or the men greet each other. Some cultures still do it today. Now, I'm not very comfortable with that, okay? But, you know, I can tell you, I kiss my boys. I give them a kiss before they go to school. You know, they must know I love them. They must know, sometimes I discipline them, but they must know I also embrace them. Or I call them and I say, let me give you a hug. You know, and they must know there's that side as well. There's that part of my heart where I can just embrace them and where I can just love them as well. A second responsibility for us as for the fathers are really to model and to instruct and be like a mentor. Okay? When you mentor someone, you need to tell the boys, listen, we are doing this and we are doing that. Now, I believe God wired them to follow that with instinct. Okay? When I climb on the ladder and I want to change a bulb and I have a screwdriver or something, guess what they want to do? They do the same. They also want little ones that they can do the same with. Why? Because they relate with me. God created them in a way that they can imitate the Father. Okay? And Ulrike, the other day, my wife was painting her toenails, okay, pink. And I thought, now she looks like really like a little girl. And she's got kralen, strings. What do you call it? The things you put around your neck. Necklace. Not pearls, okay? But she had that. And it's like a little woman, even though she's 2 years old, okay? And then I know they are pointing in the right area. They are following the right things. The things that I see, they are following. Okay? Now, I've got 5 points that I'm going to talk about or share on today. Jackson can show them. The strong man, the priest, the prophet, the king, and the judge. And I'm going to start off with the strong man. This is 5 areas we see in Scripture, okay, that men are supposed to put that mantle on themselves. Okay? It's not just for the men. The women are helpers. We do this thing as a team. Men can't do it alone. Men aren't supposed to parent alone or anything. We complement each other. Now, the strong man, okay, let me give you an example. At 3 o'clock at night, when I hear the dogs bark outside and I've got a suspicion, I heard a funny sound, something's happening there, okay, then I don't send my wife and tell her, listen, put on your pink robe and go fight off whatever is there. No, the strong man of the house, the husband, stands up. You guys can just sit at the back. Please don't leave. I want you to hear this message. It's important, Linda. I'm not distracted by kids. So please stay. I can actually focus off between kids talking to us as well. You know, then I'm the strong man. I'm not going to leave a few drunk guys that wants to make a mess. I'm not going to allow them into my property, but I'm not going to ask of my wife to go and stand there with the stick and chase them away. I'm going to do it. That's the role of the husband. That's the man's job. Okay? And in the spiritual realm, it's exactly the same. Okay? These days, you specifically have to allow and you have to check the gate. You know? What are you going to let in terms of things kids play with, movies they watch, toys, these type of things. We really have to be careful, okay? Because if the dad aren't gonna, it's like if you don't raise your kids and if you don't tell them these things, something will. And it will usually be something bad, okay? We need to be that gate to the house. We need to, in the natural and the spiritual, you need to be like a gate. And whenever you open something, that thing can come in, it's welcome. Then you bless it, okay? But when there's something bad, the man, the husband, the leader, he's supposed to say, no, you stay outside, whether it's spiritual, sorry, or natural. He needs to guard his palace fully armed all the time, according to Luke 11:21. Then secondly, the priest, who teaches, instructs, and exhorts. He provides moral leadership. That doesn't mean women don't know what moral leadership are or they don't need, but it's so effective. You know, this, you can do it one of two ways. Sometimes there's like a discipleship moment in your house or a parenting moment. The one kid tells the other one, listen, you are stupid. Now there's an opportunity to take the boys to my study and explain to them, listen, we don't do that. We don't tell each other, you are stupid. We don't do that. And then I can tell the one that I've made the trespass, if you do this again, this is going to be the consequence. They need to understand that. Or sometimes the priest can just go, and even if that situation didn't happen, you can just tell the boys, listen, we were here or there, and we heard these things. We don't talk to each other like that. We don't talk down to each other. We don't speak down. We speak to lift up. That people can understand that. And that's important that we exhort. It's also when, let's say, the first time a kid walks, that's one of those moments to every parent, you just want to love this kid so much because he's got something in his life right now that is really big. Or, for instance, the first time a kid can draw a circle and tell you, listen, this is a circle, it's like, wow. Then that's a time for the priest also to come and to lift up and to say, well done, my boy. Well done, my girl. You know, or when you ride on a bicycle with outside wheels or something, don't just miss it because you are too busy or life is, things are fast or you need to preach tomorrow. Stop down or slow down. And then you go and you tell that little boy, I'm so proud of you. It's so formative. It builds up so much. And in the same way, you know, you never tell a kid, you're a loser, you will never be able to make it. That's the biggest killing you can do to that little spirit possible. You don't tell kids stuff like that. Then also the priest has a place, especially where I believe God has given us that place where you ever remember a weakness isn't sin. If there's something you battle with in terms of you're not strong in that area of your life, it's not a sin, okay? But if you're the father and you see that kid battling with this thing, maybe confidence or maybe a bit of a temper, you know, you can bring your family before God. Because the priests in the Old Testament, they brought Israel, they were the represented them before God. So you can bring your family before God every day, every day. I pray the blood of Christ over my marriage and over my kids, over my family. And I ask God to protect us, that we will be safe, that we will be, that whether the kids are at school or at home or wherever, that we will be protected. And that's the place of the priest. He invokes a blessing and imparts spiritual life and sustenance. He affirms and commends and encourages. He's got a special role, especially in formative events. I've read that they say that girls, when they are young, and their fathers tell them, you are beautiful, you know, they're so much more secure in their identity because they don't have to go elsewhere to hear I'm beautiful. They can go to dad, and dad's the one that's supposed to tell them, you are the most beautiful girl in this whole world. And I think that brings, I'm not a girl, so I never heard that, but I got the Gustav thing, you're my boy, you know, that's, boys respond to that, they want to hear they're strong and they are the alpha male and those type of things. Then thirdly, the prophet, the one who takes leadership from God's directives and instructions. God speaks, when God usually spoke to the prophet and the prophet spoke to the nation, and they said, turn from your sin, or God is leading us here. He spoke to a Joshua. He spoke to a Moses. Okay? He spoke through a Amos or many other prophets. And it's important that we understand that because of this leadership role, God will speak to the leader as well. I'm not saying here this morning, ladies, that God will not speak to you or through you. My wife has many times, she has came to me and said, listen, but what about this or that in our house? Or maybe I feel this or that. So I'm not saying God will not speak through you. God will speak through you. Okay? But there's sometimes, and I explained it the previous time, I always, when we did marriage preparation, and we talk about authority and submission and these things, it's the things that are mostly quoted out of context. And that I take my hat off for something like someone like Angus Bachan that has preached so much, you know, in this area. And a lot of men has waken up and heard that they really should put this thing on their shoulders, and that's their responsibility. They can't just be the guy that brings the check to the house and in other areas he's not involved. I've explained to my wife, and I said to her, there are times that when I tell you duck, okay? Because if you didn't, the guy already shot you in the head. There's times that you should understand that thing, okay? And there's other times where you can sit down at the table and you can talk about stuff. Sometimes I have to go and I have to grab a boy by his back and pull him back because he can't read how fast the gate are going to close. And his hand or foot or toes will get in the way. But I'm dead. I can see it coming. And I have to pull him back. And he might experience it a little bit as something violent. But I'm helping him. Okay. And the same, I believe, I've told this to my wife. And I said to you, sometimes you don't question and you ask why. You just do it. There are certain times like that. Ask a sports team in the heat of the battle or in a war or something. That's the time to say yes and no, not why. One of my boys are now at the stage, he wants to, everything I tell him, you know, he wants to be explained. He wants to know why. And I sometimes take the time and I tell him, listen, this and this is the reason. But sometimes I tell him, no, quiet, just listen and obey. And it's that difference between the two, because I believe it can cost you your life if you don't, if you miss it sometimes. And I think because God is, because the husband is the leader, God will hold him primarily responsible. I think, and that's my interpretation, I think because of this leadership principle, God is going to call me as the husband before my wife. And he's going to ask me, what did you do, Carl, with the wife I gave you? Before he calls my wife and asks her, what did you do with the husband I gave you? It's that's responsibility. That's leadership. Then the king. Yeah, the prophet, just to end off, he warns of pending danger. He watches against defilement of sin and model and teaches the fear of God, which brings peace. So it's an important office that he stands in our houses. And I believe it's not fair to, as a man, not to do that and to say, well, I'll just give it to my wife. It's a thing you have to work together. You have to work together, but you should take that first step. As I said, I don't ask off my wife 3 o'clock at night to go and see why the dogs are barking. That's not being a man. The king, the fourth one. Now, we know in the biblical times and the kings went out. The scripture talks about there was a season for war, the time of the year that kings went to war. Now, usually the kings went out, and if they won the victory, they brought the spoils with them. They brought it back home. Now, we shouldn't go that. Don't go and plunder another guy's house. That's not what we want. But the picture we see is he provides in all material needs, emotionally and spiritually. He governs the identity. That is the core values of the family. And ladies and gentlemen, I believe that is something, that sounds a bit formal, friends, ladies and gentlemen, sounds like a meeting. We're not having a meeting, we're having church. But core values, when I had a talk with the ladies that this does the, when you have to have coffee and tea, the look and feel team that prepares all the things, I spoke to them a bit about visual evangelism. Something that is nice, that tells you, I want you back. That can draw someone into the kingdom. But I also believe, in terms of core values of a household, if you are not a Christian and you walk into a Christian and a biblical family's house, they should see what's on TV, what's on the shelves, what's happening there. They should see this is something godly. They should see the Holy Spirit, His presence are there. They should feel it. Whether they are just unsaved or a Muslim or a this or a that, people should see there's something different. And this is part of the king. He should lay down certain values. Now, in my house, it's like Joshua that said, me and my house, we will serve the Lord. If the leader says that, that's the way it should be. Now, in terms of certain values, as I said, if it's okay with you and your household to say the one kid or the husband to the wife, you are stupid, you silly, do it. In my house, we won't. That's a value of our house. We don't speak down to each other. And it does happen sometimes, but then we have to correct it, whether it's me and my wife or the kids. You know, I have to learn them. Listen, you don't curse someone's identity just because you're long or tall or short or fat or this or that or whatever it might be. God made you that way. None of us made ourselves. We were created in the image of God, and we all look different. Some can run fast. Some can climb high. Some can not sit still, and some can sit still for hours and study or work or read. And people different. God gave us different skills. It's always good to see sometimes some guys love reading more. Some guys are more practical with their hands. I like a bit reading a bit more. My wife loves. She's more practical. Ask the some of the ladies. She can make your hair look good. If I were to do that, big problem. Big problem. So he governs that identity. That means he needs to help to put it in place. And also, if something is slipping, it's also a lot of his responsibility to help and see, listen and go to God and say, God, we're not getting something right. And it's so important when we speak about the strong man, the king, the priest, the prophet, and the judge, that we can acknowledge and say to God, God, I'm battling with this area. I may be a strong king, but I'm not a good priest. I'm not a good intercessor for my family. Help me with this. Holy Spirit, come and teach me. That's why I talked about those paths. We need to look and we need to take and make it our own. And we need to apply it around us. Then, also the last one with the king, he holds the family together by his love and acceptance. We should all know, it's important. I didn't always got it when I was small, but it's important, especially us with all the little kids around, you know, that when we need to rebuke them or punish them, that they know we're not punishing them, we're punishing the sin, okay? Because we represent God, so they must obey us to obey God. As adults, we obey God directly. You don't work for your mother and father anymore. But small kids, they need to obey us. So you tell the kid, you're not a bad kid, you did a bad thing maybe. You did a sinful thing. It's not good to hit your brother or to say that word. Remember that difference. Don't tell the kid he's bad. Tell him what he did was bad. And it's important for especially the father to help the family to keep them together in terms of glue and to know them, everyone is a valued member, especially mom as well. The biggest thing that I believe that kids need to see, or that the husband can give the wife, and what's important for the kids to see, is that the kids can see that a father loves and honors his wife. When kids see that, it brings a lot of safety. It brings a lot of acceptance, because then kids feel safe. I can think back in my life, you know, when my father and mother had an argument, you know, it brings a bit of a tension in the house. But if you see, especially dad, is putting in effort and he's hugging his wife or giving her a kiss or he's speaking with respect and love with her as well, you know, that's a big, big blessing to the kids. Then finally, the judge. He protects his wife from unreasonable demands on her person and time. Okay, so he needs to watch, look at his wife. Don't push your wife, and this is where the media usually get it wrong. Being the leader doesn't mean standing there with a stick and now trying to sort out your wife or teach her. You're not a parent in that sense, okay? There's a covenant between you. So this is important, that the father also protects his wife from unreasonable demands from the kid. And I tell you, kids can be very demanding sometimes. They are very clever to manipulate from a very young age. And then you need to stand in and say, listen, no, mommy's not going to pick you up now. It's fine. I can see. I can discern that. You need to give her a break as well. Sometimes I have to tell my wife, listen, leave the kids now, or just go and have quiet time. Just relax a bit. You know, leave them. They can... We're not going to bath them tonight. They just go to bed. Okay, just you can have some time for yourself. That's important. She also needs to be able to stand. He arbitrates and bring peace and settlement where there's strife. And I remember there was a time, and I think most of the men might relate, when you get about your late primary school, you're not that afraid of your mom anymore. But when your mom says, wait till dad comes home, then you know you're still in trouble, you know? And that's a good thing. It needs to be there. Especially young boys, they need to see that boundary thing. They're going to test it, and they need to see dad's dad. he's in place. It brings safety and security. And sometimes when the young kids, they are just into each other's hair and they just want to make a chaos, you just need to take everyone and send them to their room and just keep them away from each other. Just for a while, and tell them, no, just leave your brother, you go and play outside now. And then they need to listen. Just to bring a bit of space and peace in the house. He watches over the cause of the weak and the vulnerable. Important one to me. My boys are a bit older and stronger, 2 years older than their sister. So I tell them, listen, you don't hit your sister. You are bigger, you're stronger, and I'm protecting the young one, the vulnerable one, because she's a girl. Now she's got a will of her own in a sense, and I need to check that as well, but I need to protect the younger one. And sometimes you'll see some of the kids are older or stronger physically or emotionally or what way. Then it's the place of the father to make sure this family is still working, because personalities can be very diverse. Then you need to protect. A judge also protect the vulnerable ones and lift them up and keep them safe in a sense. He ensures fair play. And then also he teaches and models ethical integrity. Now that saying that goes, monkey see, monkey do, that's very true for children and their parents. Whatever they see happening in the house, they will do the same. They will do the same. And you can go and test it. Ask the parents. If you sometime lose your temper and you use a bad word, it's not very long and that kid uses that same word. I can tell you that. They do that. Okay. And yeah, so I'm going to start off by ending off here. It's already 12 o'clock. And just to say something on the role, the last two slides, if you can just continue one more. That one. Father and mother roles were created to function optimally within a team context. So that means I've only spoken about the role of the father, and we're going to end here. Next week, we'll move on to the ladies and the children and a few other biblical things. Or not next week, the week after that. But it's important that we know you will be the best dad you can when you have your wife next to you, or the best wife when your husband is next to you. None of us are created to do this thing on our own, or just, you know, have all the weight on our shoulders. And then the last slide, it says the next one, I think there's the next one, yeah, about the ladies, just to give something to you as well. Her primary function corresponds to that of her husband and father. That means my wife, it doesn't mean I always give the hidings in the house. Sometimes when I'm not around and the kids break the boundaries, they have to get it from mom as well. They need to understand they are also disobedient when I'm not there, that the rules are still there to follow. And then lastly, she is however most effective when the father acknowledges and honors her as his indispensable partner in these roles. Okay? So you can't just say, I'm the man, I'm the leader, I'm the husband, I've got all the answers, everything. No. The father has to acknowledge, and we'll get to that part in Ephesians. You know, because Paul says, in my weakness, you know, God comes through and he's strong. And scripture talks about the weaker vessel, but I don't want to go into that now. We'll leave that for next time. But it's important that husbands also acknowledge and say, I can only be the best king, the best priest, the best prophet when I've got my wife next to me. Then it's the biggest blessing you can get. So just remember once again, if something in the sermon, if something is missing, God will add. He can add. Ask him to give something that if it's lacking right now. Lord Jesus, we want to come to you this morning, Lord, and we want to thank you, Lord God, that you just made us just individuals to go through life all alone, but that you created us in the church to be a family, spiritual family, but also you gave families in the natural. Lord, you do nothing outside of covenant, Lord, and you created a family to belong inside of covenant, Lord. And I pray, Lord God, that you'll speak to us in this week regarding that, that you'll minister to us, Lord God, that you will show us, Lord. And thank you, Father, that we can be your sons and daughters created in your image. And wherever we as husbands or as fathers or as the ladies, Lord, whenever we lack something, thank you, Lord, that we can come to you and that we can say, Lord, I'm failing here. please lift me up, please help me, please show me the way. And thank you, Lord, that you will give that to us, Lord. I pray in Namibia, Lord God, in our church here in Windhoek, Lord God, for every person, Lord, that has got hurt in a family situation, in family life, Lord, that you will bring healing, that you will bring restoration, Lord God. And Father, that we won't have an offense in our hearts for many, many years. I pray that we can forgive and forget, Lord God, that we can be healed, Lord God, that your Spirit and the fruit of the Spirit, that can dwell in us, Lord God, that people can see what godly families look like, Lord. And Father, that it can be a type of evangelism, that when a single person that's maybe not married yet, Lord, or other family, when they walk into our houses, Lord, that they can see that this family, they are serving the Lord. They've got biblical values, Lord God. Please help us to grow in this, Lord God. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to ask us just by ending off, you know, we finished now and I want you to have a wonderful Sunday and to rest and relax a bit. But if there's anyone here and you maybe got hurt in the area of family, maybe there's something you're still holding against someone, maybe you feel you just need a bit of healing regarding any of the things I've said or there's anything, I would love to pray with you and just to stand in faith with you that God can help you to be renewed like Romans 12 too. Sometimes we need to reprogram, because I tell you, there's a lot of people out here in Windhoek that I've heard people say, I don't want to get married anymore because I don't think it can work. Or I don't want to be a father because I had such a bad one. Or I had no one. Or whatever the case might be, you know. But I firmly believe that it's part of the gospel that we can get healing in those areas of our lives. So if it's you maybe this morning, I would love to just pray a prayer of agreement with you. Amen. So have a wonderful week, the rest of the weekend. Be blessed. You guys need to be strong, young ones. It's just one more month, then you're finished with the year. Okay? And then you can have a long holiday. For the adults working, it's hold on there. It's about a little bit longer. Then we're going to all have a rest. Let's finish this year strongly with our heads high. Amen.